and thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman, the founder of the Kabbalah Lam organization. Hello. Hello, everyone. Hello, Tal Mandelbaum Ben Moshe. Hello. Today, we'd like to talk about the social brain. Even the name itself is very interesting. Be with us. There's lots to learn. Tal, please.
Okay, so today I'd like to tell you about research I've been doing for the past few years in parallel to our talks here. I started understanding that the world is becoming more integrated, demanding us to cooperate, demanding us to be synchronized, but that we, humans, aren't suited to live in this world, and this gave me the motivation to research cooperation and the psychological, cerebral, neurological basis for our tendency for cooperation or competing. And we did a research about it in the Bar-Ilan University. And what we wanted to see is, what does a person feel in a state of collaboration, and what does he feel when he's competing? We took 16 subjects, Bar-Ilan students. We gave them a computer game. We put this electrode hat on their heads, a device called ERP, and we allow them to play with another person once competing and the other time collaborating. And we wanted to see what happens emotionally. And we found out very interesting things. First of all, we saw what did I want to see? I wanted to see what's the difference between the states, what's more pleasant, what creates tension, is there a difference? And I have to say that my professor had doubts, will we see something at all? But surprisingly, we found something very interesting. So maybe the most interesting thing we found out is that in a state of competition, we found out that there are severe emotional differences between a state where a person wins or loses in a game, and especially when he loses. The strongest emotional response was when a person loses in competition, loses to someone else. Now, when the subjects cooperated, played and cooperated, collaborated, the emotional responses were pretty similar and moderate. That was very interesting. And another thing we looked at, how did the subjects respond when they see the countenance of the component when they win and he's sad, or when they win together? I wanted to see what happens emotionally during that time. And this was also very interesting. In a state of competition, a very strong response happens when there is competition, tension. When you collaborate, well, whether my partner is happy or not, it's less important. And we found out that competition creates tension, very strong emotions, a less pleasant state. And first of all, and there are many other interesting facts, but let's start with that. Do you think this is rational? Is it true? Does it fit your worldview when you think about us, about our nature? You told me so many things that I don't know what to relate to first. The phenomena, of course, it's right, and I hear and I agree. But in the wisdom of Kabbalah, first of all, we relate not to the brain-related phenomena, but to the desire. And the fact that you're talking about the brain, it's not brain-related phenomena. What you grasp are emotional results and not brain-related. You as if got them through the brain, but it's not the brain itself. The brain itself, it's a cold machine that has to make very precise calculations for us. And here you're talking, we can't take them from the heart, because the heart is just a pump that responds to it with its inner pressure. It's a response of the nervous system, but that's it. But actually, therefore, I wouldn't say that the social mind is a mind. And the social feeling isn't a social feeling, it's an individual feeling, a feeling against me or for me. You were researching a person's emotional world and not the brain-related world.
Okay, it's hard to grasp because if it's not in the brain, where is it? No, it doesn't matter that it's in the brain. You can take the same responses from the brain or from the arm. It doesn't matter from where. The thing is that these are emotional responses, emotional phenomena, and not brain-related phenomena. With the help of the mind, we can discover things about our emotions, our behavior, things that maybe we're hiding that we don't want to tell about. It's true that it's all in the brain, besides our body. All in all is a piece of flesh that carries out orders. But when we say brain and not heart, we're talking about some kind of a machine that calculates according to precise formulas and programs and qualities and so on. But what you're saying is emotional phenomena that even though you take it from the mind, I personally, if you ask me, I ascribe them to the heart, to a person's feelings, that this feeling is also in the mind. True, it's in the same box, right? But if talking about mind-related phenomena, mind-related results, I'd be careful talking about that because it's not exactly correct. Social mind sciences want to actually investigate a person's emotional world, and they do it through observing the mind and so on. Okay, so we have a bit of a different definition of what the brain is and so on. Okay. So first of all, I wanted to know, what do you think about the results? Is it true that competition evokes much stronger feelings, much radical feelings, negative feelings, anxiety, as opposed to cooperation, where we saw much more moderate and pleasant feelings? It was easier to lose together than alone. Undoubtedly, because in competition, we're one against the other. And therefore, everything that's plus in me and minus in the other, plus and minus, multiply themselves. And then I feel twice greater joy from the gain, while seeing that my component feels twice the loss. And then, of course, we have much stronger feelings coming from competition. And if we're not competing with someone, but we're in friendship and some kind of a collaboration, then, of course, it's divided in two. So we no longer have this outburst of emotions as a direct result of the game, but maybe we have a different outburst of feelings as a result of being together. So that's a different reason for the outburst of feeling. It could be even greater, depending what our goal is. Because if we want to succeed, then what do we want? Either we want to make money, win some money. Yeah, that was the task, actually. Or that by the game, we want to come closer to each other. There is egoistic competition and non-egoistic competition. Yeah, I wouldn't exactly divide it that way, egoistic or not, but depending on what the goal is. And then the goal could be as a result of working together. If our goal is to connect, then the result could be many times greater than in competition. So how do you explain that the strongest emotion is as a result of losing in competition? Because I'm an egoist. What can hurt my pride, my self-esteem, self-appreciation, my status? Of course, losing is a direct insult to my ego. There's no greater impression. The device, it measures impression. It doesn't know plus, minus. For the device, it's impression. So, of course, the greatest impression is from the insult. Why not from the win? Why, when I lose, I get a stronger emotional vibration than when I win in a competition? This is our problem, that, first of all, from nature, we're aimed at protecting ourselves from being harmed. And then, if we can protect ourselves for sure from being hurt, then we also want to gain. But first of all, keep what's yours, so to speak, and not to hurt myself, and then I can also start thinking about how can I gain and add. And therefore, an insult to what's mine, that I came with something and I have to leave here a certain sum or something and go home without it, that's the problem. But if suppose I came to a game, poker or something, and I came in order to play, in order to spend time. I know people go to Las Vegas, they go there, they know, today I can lose $20,000. Okay. So he comes because he can't fill himself any other way but through the game. And then, however, he makes or loses, even if he loses $20,000, but he comes out of the game with this feeling of action, drive, and he feels good. Feels good. And he doesn't pay any attention to what he lost, but for him it's a gain, because in the evening he felt so many states during which he felt liveliness. And he enjoys life. I know it on myself. Not on myself that I'm a gamer, but that I was present. I saw it happen. Another question. Tal found out that if a person loses on his own, this is the most powerful feeling. And were we supposed to lose together, it's not that much of a disaster. Why? Because we share both the gain and the loss. I feel that it's not only my loss, but also yours, and we're friends. By this, we actually, how to put it, we soften the result. This is what I'm trying to understand. What exactly does it soften? Why, when I lose on my own, it's a disaster, and when we lose together, then it's not that big of a disaster. Why? You gave an example called losing what's already yours. That's the loss is greater than the gain. Now you're saying when I lose on my own or I lose with a friend, right?
Yes.
Why does it ease the feeling? What do we say about it? A sorrow shared is half a sorrow. Okay, but tell me why. Because it's shared between everyone. It's no longer that I'm hurt, but several people were hurt, so this insult is divided between many people. Suppose the sum is that I lost the same sum. It doesn't matter. You have an example that others lost too. What do we say in times of war? Suppose there's no war now, and suddenly a pipe bursted at home and something's wrong and whatnot. There's no electricity and so on. Oh man, but if it happens all over town or all over the country, so what can you do? You don't feel that you're harmed. So our measurement is only relative, meaning I don't only measure how much I have or don't have, how much I gain or lose, I always compare it with others. Yes, that's how we always are toward society. So our self is less hurt when there's a mutual loss. Also, we saw that when people went together, the response was stronger than when people lose together. Even though that it's less than competition, but the mutual win had an intensity of its own. Wait, I didn't understand. A group loss influences you less than a group win. And it's counter to the personal loss, which is the greatest intensity, which is greater than the personal gain or win. And here, with the social win or loss, it's the very opposite. Why? So there are several questions here. First of all, if I succeeded together with the group, then my success isn't supposed to be that great, because besides me, others gained too. She's making a doctorate. With her, another 20 people are doing a doctorate. So I'm doing one too. But if that's only me, it's a
great success, right? So why isn't it like that? We compared between a state where you lose together and you win together. Not one or many. I see, okay. And if I won on my own, it's stronger than winning together. Yes. But if I lose together, then still the feeling is less strong than winning together. The common gain had a stronger impact than the mutual loss. But really, when you win on your own, it's more essential, and also the loss. In short, everything that is on your own and in competition got a greater emotional response. So accordingly, what conclusion, what do you recommend? What's the conclusion for your work? I concluded. On the one hand, as if wanted to say that cooperation is preferable, and we see that it's better, that it creates less tension, less unpleasant social feelings, undoubtedly that it's much more suitable for us emotional. And along with it, I added that if the competition is done correctly and we know how to channel the tension that it creates for the right goals, maybe competition isn't something that bad. Maybe it's good if we know how to correctly use it. This is what I concluded. Showed many other researches that talk about it, but not necessarily that cooperation is good and competition is bad, but the right use of competition or cooperation. This is my conclusion, and also a recommendation to use collaboration in education and everywhere, actually, because we see that it's good for us emotionally, less stress, and it's also more fun, in my opinion. One more thing I wanted to ask. We found out, in a state of competition, we saw that more areas in the brain are working that are related to cognitive control, mental efforts. The efforts a person has to put in competition is greater than in collaboration. Maybe that's the downside to collaboration, that a person as if makes less efforts, because if it's together, it's less important. I'm putting in less efforts in order to get the result I want in a competition. I make greater efforts to get the result that I want. You researched egoistic groups and subjects where the result is clear. From the wisdom of Kabbalah, we discern all these things in advance, and we can even reach the same result without examining the Bar-Ilan University students, intuitively speaking. Right. But it's really interesting to examine our groups, suppose my students, not the Bar-Ilan students. What about them? That after a year or two or three, after learning, studying the wisdom of Kabbalah and everything that it demands and the changes that a person undergoes, how do these students relate these things to the group or to themselves, loss or gain? What do they appreciate as gain or loss? What do they consider as gain or loss? We have to build such exercises. And please, I'll ask them to put these helmets on. Okay, that's interesting. And make a research, please. So you're actually saying that a person that undergoes a certain preparation that changes his values, what's the difference between your students and others? The results should be different, maybe opposite, maybe my personal loss will be against my gain, where I connect with others, collaborate with them, and then the result that you see is that I lost, but I'm happy. It'll confuse all the results. It will completely change them. Meaning the studying or the change that a person undergoes will be expressed in his response. Of course. All in all, you're measuring change in potential. How do you know? My question is, how do you know whether it's positive or negative? I could cry and yell and be happy and everything. And can you discern between these responses? If you're not looking at me, if you only see the chart,
The graph. There are results from other researches as what happens to a person when you show him pleasant or unpleasant stimulation. So I compared it with those results, but I can't say absolutely. The clearest thing is to see the intensity. Okay, but still, you can research it afterwards and ask. You have to prepare such tests that to confuse them, so to exactly understand what's going on inside a person so that people won't lie to themselves or to the researchers. You're saying that the subjects are egoistic, and what I found, of course, ordinary people, students from an ordinary university, and this is why I'm saying you should test my students and let's see if they give different results. My professor was actually a bit disappointed from man's nature because we wanted to see empathy. What empathy between people? Your professor thought about that? Oy, oy, oy. And he is an expert in psychology. I don't know, there's no research or an idea that says that a person is necessarily evil from birth. It's not absolute. What do you mean not absolute? It's not absolute because it wasn't researched. Bala Sulami writes about materialistic psychology that we test and we can see the very clear results. And to use these results later on and show everyone who and what we are. But I also think that it's not a problem. We actually don't need psychologists for it. Today, if we simply go out into the world and we talk to the people, then more or less, they agree that we're egoistic. Only we say in a very direct manner that everyone's evil. Everyone wants to do evil onto others and good for themselves. And here that's hard for a person to agree with. He immediately feels a direct insult. But were we to have such results from research, that would have been good because we could use them. We could go out to the press and different places to stimulate the public to say that we're not all righteous. Meaning, if to conclude, you'd conclude the results that a person enjoys the loss of others. Of course, he enjoys when others lose. He enjoys only his gain. Only we have to exactly define what gain and what loss is. Sometimes it has to do with something that's important for him, and he sees it as a gain and not as a loss. Like my friend who went to play poker and lost $20,000, but he says, I enjoyed myself. What a pleasure. And then, were you to test him, we'd see a person didn't lose because he had to pay at the register, but he felt as if he gained $20,000 because for him, not the money is important, but the game itself, the inner fulfillment. And we have many such people. I have a friend that travels to Germany to listen to some opera. He's a lover of music. So he buys a ticket, and a ticket to the opera, and a hotel, and everything in order to be there one evening, listen, and come back. Really, 2 days. He goes there only for that. So how's that? Meaning, it all depends, it always depends on what's the gain, what's the loss, specifically per person. And you're saying that that's something, it depends on your education, on your environment, can you acquire it, or is it built in? It all depends on the values that we can change in a person, which you can change by education. You can change the values through education and then bring a person to completely different appreciations, measurements. There are sometimes such researches when you scan the brain, you let a person read something that completely confuses him. Suppose I show him a movie about poor children or torture or about good music or something or nature. Of course, it'll change him because he'll be under the influence of that environment for a certain period of time, but then again, he returns to be as he was. So what would you show the subjects that you want to measure? Nothing. He gets up empty, without nothing, no impression from nothing.
He can come, and then there is a chance of seeing who he is, his natural responses. If he's in the middle of the day and he's after news, he heard the news and brings his impressions and what he caught from others, it's not him anymore. And if I want to show how education or the influence of environment can influence brain responses and emotions with respect to cooperation for the better in subjects, I have to show them something. How can education make positive change? So what would you show them in order to create this positive change towards cooperation? Pictures of cooperation, people hugging. What should you show them in order to create the preferable change, like you do with your students? No, for this we have to sit together with them in workshops, otherwise it's impossible. We have to influence a person by the environment. The person himself doesn't change. He's always impressed by the environment. So we have to bring him to an environment where he get the right impression. And after a few times, we could measure him. Okay. If I want to develop myself as a person, so from which to which place am I supposed to come according to your perception? From the place where you are to the place where the environment is. I don't understand. You can change yourself from your current state up to the state where the environment that you want to be included in is. If the environment is lower, you go into a group of criminals, you'll be like them. You go into an environment of righteous, you'll be like them. But a person, what does he have to aspire for if I want to realize myself to the maximum? What is this high place you're describing that I have to come to? Two words about it. General love, that you start feeling that all of humanity actually belongs to you and you belong to them, that they're all one system. And then you have no particular personal gain or loss, but only collective. And the greater the circle you belong to, the greater the person you are. Good luck. Thank you very much. Our time's unfortunately up. Thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. Thank you, Tal. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.